You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Last week, when we started to analyze the mitzvah of tshuva, and in particular the relationship of this tshuva process to the Aseres Me'tshuva, and more specifically to Yom Kippurim, we saw, based upon an analysis given in the Gemara, in Masechtas Yoma, in the name of Reish Lakish, that in actuality there are two levels of tshuva that are capable of being performed when it comes to a Jew's desire to perform tshuva and return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Reish Lakish talks about a tshuva miyira, he talks about a tshuva miyava, and he points out that the difference between them when it comes to what the tshuva is able to accomplish, a tshuva yira that you do because of yira shemayim, because of fear of divine punishment, which is looked upon as a more coerced type of tshuva, the most that tshuva can do is take an avera that was committed bezadon as a purposeful act, a rebellion, and reduce it down to shkaga, to an accidental act. It can reduce the severity of the crime. But the tshuva that's more powerful, and the tshuva that would obviously Chazal advocated for, is the tshuva that's performed based upon my avat Hashem, my love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And concerning that, we saw last week that according to the Reish Lakish presentation, that Chazal tell us that not only does the tshuva that for because of my desire for avat Hashem and reconnection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not only is it powerful enough that the tshuva erases the aveira entirely, that even a zadon literally disappears from your specific record above, no longer is it thrown against you when it comes to divine punishment in the future, it literally disappears from your record. So, but it also, according to the Gemara, according to Reish Lakish, causes you to have additional zuchusim as a result of doing tshuva mi'ahava. I pointed out last week when we looked at the Rambam text in quotation B on page number 2 of the Maror Makamos, that the Rambam, when it comes to Uptaichi, when it comes to explaining the nature and the magnificence and the, quite obviously, the incredible tikkunim that are accomplished by people who do tshuva mi'ahava, he says, and once again, just to refresh your memory, in quotation B on page 2, he says, "Al yid ma'odom ba'al tshuva shumrucha k'malas ha-tzadikim v'nei avanas v'chata sh'asa." People who are usually ba'al tshuva feel a guilt complex, and they feel they're very far away from ever reaching the level of tzadikim because of the sins and the averos and all the other types of negative activity they performed in the past. So says the Rambam, "Ein hadavar kein," that's not the case. "Ela ahuv v'nechmaru lefnei habore ki'ilu lochak me'ola." That this person who does tshuva, and he's talking about now tshuva mi'ava, is beloved and desired in front of Hashem as if he never sinned in his entire life. That could only be accomplished if you do tshuva mi'ava, as I just mentioned in the name of Reish Lakish. For lo od, and only that, says the Rambam, sheschar harbe, he gets tremendous schar because of doing this tshuva mi'ava, sherei tom tam chet, he tasted the flavor, the sweetness of sin, maim genuvim yim taku, in order to tempt you to sin. Sin has to have a certain sweetness and certain desirability. He tasted it, and nevertheless, pirush mimenu, he was able to separate himself from the sin from that point on. After he did tshuva v'kavash yitzra, and he controlled his passions, omru chachamim, mokem shebalei tshuva omdim, in the place where balei tshuva are able to stand in shemayim, when it comes to receiving the divine reward, Ein tzaddikim gemurim yochel lamabo, even people on that dagger perhaps will not reach their level of divine schar. Kolomer ma'alasan gedola mimalas elu shalochot me'olam. And the reason the Rambam gives is v'nei shekov shem yitzra yosem ehem. They have to work much harder to to keep themselves in place and not return back to the sinful behavior based upon the memory cells that remind them of their sinful past. They have to be covered with the Yetzer, and that Kavish is a Yetzer. Takes time, takes effort, takes emotion, takes physical and mental exertion. And we have a principle that I mentioned this week in the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, Lefum Tzara Agra, that according to the pain you put in your spiritual pursuits, the harder the work, the more pain, the more effort, the more schar you get in Shemayim when it comes to the performance of mitzvos and the separation from averos. So this beautiful Rambam explained the tokef of what's accomplished when it comes to a person doing tshuva miyahad. Now, the only thing is that last week I didn't continue with this topic, and I went to a topic to finish off the other questions of why Yom Kippur is different than doing tshuva miyahad kol hashana kula. I'm not going to repeat that again tonight. But I do want to deal with a very important topic that relates to this. And that is, it's the ideal tshuva is tshuva miyava, but how do I accomplish tshuva miyava? How do I get myself on that religious plane that I really feel that the tshuva I'm doing is based upon my love of Hashem, not based upon my fear of onish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What mechanisms does Hashem create in this world to allow me to reach that level of tshuva and to accomplish the tikkunim mentioned by the Rambam in Perek Zayin, which we just read a couple of minutes ago? So I want to show you on the top of the page, quotation E, there is the Nefesh HaChayim of the famous Chaim Volozhin, who basically was the Rav Chaim of the founder of the Volozhin Yeshiva. And over here in his Nefesh HaChayim, he gives us a formulation which gives us an answer to this question: how to achieve tshuva miyava. Omru o the Perek Beis the Brachos. He quotes the Gemara Brachos. Ubetanu de Ve'lo. So when it comes to the Seder of Yo Rabba Perek Chafei, Lama Nismachu. Why did Hashem make a connection to the word of Ohalim Lenechalim? Dechsev kinechalam nitayu, koalim not to Hashem. Why did Hashem juxtapose these psukim and put these two words next to each other? Lomolach to teach you the following. Ma nechalam, when it comes to rivers of water, malin adam itumalatara, a person who's ritually contaminated, goes into the water and is able to remove the tumah, and could obviously achieve spiritual purity. The same way, quite obviously speaking, necholim of water, mikvahs of water, rivers of water, seas of water are able to do this. Af ahalim, likewise, when it comes to tents, malim esa adam, they elevate man, mikav chov lekav schus, from the level of chov, of quite obviously violation, and quite obviously a disrespect for Hashem and His Torah, that Olam are able to raise a person from that type of inappropriate behavior to the concept of spiritual zuchusim. And he continues, "Uberperik Yedcheshon," it says the pasuk on the pasuk, "Shivchi kamayim libech, mamayim halalu mikvatara hein l'Israel." The same way, these waters serve as a mikvah of purity for the Bnei Yisrael, v'lechol asher nivra v'olam, for all those who are created in this world, kach divrei Torah, the words of Torah, are a mikveh tarah in Israel, are a mikvah of purity for Klal Yisrael, v'chol mekamos mashusim, no matter where they live on the face of this earth, bo urei, come and see, says the Nefesh HaChayim, kama gedol kocho shel Torah, how powerful is the greatness of Torah itself? Shemetaheres espos Yisrael. It has the capacity of purifying the rebellious members of the Jewish people. Bezman she'os in tshuva, when they are involved in the tshuva process. Afilu mevadazara shebiyadon, even if the sin they sinned was that of idolatry. The concept is that the mind term of Torah have the ability to spiritually purify you and could obviously elevate you as a result, quite obviously, of from the tshuva process of returning from Avodah Zarah. It seems that tshuva has the ability through the Koach of Torah to eliminate that type of sinful behavior. Ki ikar ha-tshuva shleima, this is the crucial line I want to show you in the Nefesh HaChaim. The ikar tshuva shleima, hamitis, shehim ahava, is a tshuva that comes because of love of Hashem, who rak alidei esek ha-Torah k'ra'ui. You can only achieve that type of love of Hashem that brings you to a tshuva shleima by a person being involved continuously in his learning of Torah. Kamosha kasav b'malos ha-Torah, as we find in the Perek and Avos dealing with the various milos of Torah, it says, Oyev es hamakom, a person has to become Oyev Hashem by learning Torah properly. Kamo shekasav, hashiveinu avinu l'sarasech, Hashem should bring us back to his Torah. V'achzereinu b'shuva shleima l'fanecha, if a person returns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah, that will allow a person to return with a tshuva shleima in front of HaKadosh Baruch as well. So you see that the formula that is mentioned by the Nefesh HaChayim for a person able to achieve tshuva mi'ava is through Esek HaTorah K'ra'ui. This is what the Ram, the Nefesh HaChayim, says in this specific piece. What I want to show you, however, tonight is that it's more than just what the Nefesh HaChayim says. Hello, I'm giving a shiur now. I will call you back. I can't speak now. Okay, so I'll call you back soon. Okay. So what I want to show you tonight is that if you look very carefully in the Rambam texts, in Hilchos Tshuva, and likewise in the Sefer Mitzvos and other parts of the Rambam's works, he deals with this question of the Nefesh HaChayim, of how to achieve tshuva mi'ava. And what I want to share with you tonight is his presentation and the importance of understanding this. And perhaps once I explain to you what the Rambam says, we'll then deal with another shayla that I mentioned last week, which I never really got back to purposely. And that is, after hearing the power of what was accomplished on Yom Kippurim, after I gave you last week the power of Yom Kippur when it comes to the tshuva process with all the ramifications of Kapar, Vitara, etc., etc., you got to ask yourself a simple question: what do I need Rosh Hashanah for? Because the whole emphasis, if you think of last week's shiur, was the power of Tahara and Kapara you're able to accomplish one day a year in Kippur. It seems Yom Kippur does it all. And why, therefore, if that's the case, do we have an Aseret Yemei Teshuva? And why does the Aseret Yemei Teshuva start with a Rosh Hashanah? And especially if you take the Nusach and the Gemara, the most people that are Nidon and Rosh Hashanah, most of us are Beinanim. And the Gemara din doesn't take place to when? To Yom Kippur anyway. So you have to ask yourself the question, so why do we need the Rosh Hashanah at all? Let's cut the chase, go straight to Yom Kippur, and get on with what we have to do. So listen very carefully tonight as I explain it to you, because I think after I finish tonight's presentation, you'll have a different Aseret Yemei Teshuva and different perception of what we're trying to do when it comes to davening and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And the Chazen, our dear Chazen who represents us, will have an underlying feel as he basically articulates and sings what he sings, and hopefully we'll have the proper kavanas to appreciate what he's offering us. So let's go and get into this quickly. The question, I'm putting a lot of pressure now on the Chazen.
He's ready, he's been preparing for weeks.
No, he's been preparing for centuries. He's been preparing for quite a while, Baruch Hashem. So it says over here, Rabbi Sai, if you look on the Rambam, on the bottom of the page, what he has what he calls mitzvah hashlishis. This is quite interesting. In the Sefer Mitzvos, where he basically enumerates all the concepts of the Tayag mitzvahs, in the mitzvah say part of the Sefer, He talks about the third mitzvah of the Torah, Yatzivush and Estavino al Avasa Yisala. Hashem has given us a divine command on the love of the Ribbono Shalom. Now, how does a person reach Ava Hashem? Shenis Bonein v'nistakel v'mitzvosav, that we should analyze very deeply and have tremendous intellectual connection and analysis of the commandments of God, Sivuyav, the various divine mandates of God, Pulosav, God's divine actions in this world, Kidei shenasigeyu v'nisaneg v'asagasav tachlis atanuk, in order that a person should perceive God and have the enjoyment of that type of perception of God on the highest level possible you're able to reach. V'zoi ava hametzuva leinu. This is the level of ava that Hashem has thrown upon us that we have to obtain. For Lashon Sifrei, he brings down the Medrash Halacha on the tzivu of ava Hashem contained in Sefer Devarim. The Fishinema, when it comes to the Kriya Shema, in the first major parash, it says, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah of Avat Hashem. Now the girsa that the Mefarshim point out that should be here, and you see those little three dots show that there was a correction to the text. We shouldn't read Yodei Ani, Ketzer Oyevus HaMakom, but they say the real girsa is Eini Yodeya, Ketzer Oyevus HaMakom. Then when the Ribbono Shel gave us the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, Chazal asked a very simple question. Ribbono Shel Olam, it's very nice they're telling us to develop a love of Hashem, but we do not know exactly how to accomplish this specific task. Talmud Lomar, to which Hashem answered, just continue reading in the Psukim. After Hav Hashem Elkech, what does it say? V'hayu hadvarim eil Hashem nochem etzavcha hayom alavavecha. That these words that I'm showing you, that I'm commanding you today, should be on your heart. That because of this, you'll come to recognize that entity that created the world. I therefore have explained to you that by a person's intellectual in-depth analysis, Tavo the Dehasag will come to our understanding of God. And you'll get that tanig, that enjoyment by this recognition of Hasagas Elokis. And Tavo Ava Behechrech, Ava Hashem will come by definition at that point in time under all circumstances. So what I want to share with you today is that this Rambam text in Sefer HaMitzvahs is Moli B'Gadush, and it's going to help us understand a lot of the Yesodos tonight. So listen very carefully as I describe to you what Eliyahu HaMizrahi, one of the great Gedolei early Achronim on his Perush L'Chumash, the Mizrahi, has to say about this Medrash Chazal and the Rambam text over here. What the Mizrahi asks is the following question. We have the mitzvah Ahavta Hashem Elokecha contained in Sefer Devarim. We have the mitzvah of the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha mentioned in, quite obviously, Sefer Vayikra, Parashas Kedoshim to you. So he says how interesting it is that the Sifrei, which is the Perush and Sefer Devarim, when it comes to mitzvah Avat Hashem, says that Klal Yisrael asked Hashem, we don't know how to come to this Avat, teach us how to do it. Why, when it came to mitzvah of Ahavta Recha Kamocha, didn't Klal Yisrael or Chazal ask Hashem the same exact question? How do we perfect ourselves in the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha? We don't find them asking the same question. Any day at case of the Kaima, I don't know how to do this. Why was it that Avat Yisrael or Avat Abrios seemed to be pretty self-understood? Masha'en ken Avat Hashem required Hashem to go out of his way to explain to us not only what the mitzvah is, but the methodology through which we're able to obtain Avat Hashem based upon what Hashem has created in this world and enable us by analysis of this stuff to come to Avat Hashem. What's the difference? So says the Mizrahi, there's a very simple difference. The difference is so muskal that sometimes you wonder why people even ask the question. But he says the following. Everybody who is sitting in my audience has people that they're very close to, people that he has a tremendous affection for, people that you love with intense love. You love your wife, you love your children, you love your intimate mishpacha members, the many friends that you have that you have a tremendous love for as well. So the obvious question is, that's not difficult. It's easy to become an oyev of your friend. So Chazal say, not that whether it's difficult or easy, but the fact is, it's something that human beings have an easy ability to accomplish for one simple reason. You and the other human being you want to relate with, you want to develop a relationship with, you want to develop a kesher, an ultimate ava with, you're both living in the same realm of existence. You're both physical entities, physical human beings. You're both corporeal entities. You have a physical body, a physical being. So you're dealing in a medium that you're able to relate to each other on a very easy social level. And anybody who's dealing with somebody on a very sociable level, on an ongoing basis, realizes the more you deal with them, the more you interact with them, the more places you go with them, the more you talk with them, the more you socialize with them, you invite them for dinners, you go out to eat, but the more you are with these people, the greater feeling of affection you feel for them. Over time, it becomes more and more intense until finally you develop a loving, concerned relationship for that person. So developing a love for another human being is within the ultimate normal capacities of human beings. Human love is a normal human emotion, and therefore, when Hashem says that you have to find an ability to love each and every Jew, it wasn't something that was bizarre in the eyes of Klal Yisrael. If I can love my friend when it comes to different types of phenomenon, I can develop a love of my friend when it comes to my desire that they should have everything good in this world, like I have something good in this world. It's not something beyond human comprehension and human capacity. That's why Chazal weren't perturbed. How do you accomplish it? But when it comes to the mitzvah of Avat Hashem, says the Mizrahi, now we're coming into a difficult problem. And the reason is because you and the Rabbanu Shlom, upon whom you have the mitzvah to develop a love for, are in two different levels, two different planes of existence. You are a corporeal entity, the Rabbanu Shlom is incorporeal, has no body, no form. You are bound by time and place, Hashem is not bound by time and place. And therefore, since you're dealing with an entity that's not in the same realm of existence as you, how can you expect me to develop a relationship with an entity that's in a different type of realm, way above me, distant from me, something I can't even comprehend? It seems to be a mission impossible. One of the proof texts of how impossible this is that when Moshe and Pashas Kisisa asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareinu Es Kavodecha, the Rebbeinu Hashem said that Moshe wanted Hashem to teach him how to know him, how to understand him, how to comprehend him, how to relate to him. The Rebbeinu Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, as long as you are a bus of Adam, you will never ever come to a full understanding and comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because of the exact reason I just gave. That a bus of Adam, who's corporeal in nature, cannot be masik an entity that's incorporeal and has the capacities of God, which are far different and far superior than the capacities that are possessed by human beings. So if that's the case, if Moshe could not come to a Hakaras Elokis on the Dagger of Moshe's level, on the highest level of prophetic vision, who is able to see Hashem with Aspachlara Hamira, and nevertheless he could not understand and comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore be Masik Hashem on his level, what hope do we have as human beings who are not on that level to come to Asagas Elokis to develop a relationship with Hashem on our lower, weaker human, spiritual, intellectual level? So therefore,
you
says
are
the Mizrahi,
to Ben's Torah,
Hashem was mitzavas the mitzvah v'ahavta Hashem lekecha. Chazal said in their anivus and in their emistikai, Ribbono Shel Olam, we're willing to accept all tayag mitzvahs, but we have one little problem. What technique do we have available in this world to give us an understanding and hasogas elokis on the level, not only should we fear God, but that should we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How, as a human being, can we be masik Hashem, who's incorporeal? If we're corporeal entities, it seems to be a mission impossible. That's what Chazal did by saying, Ein yodeya ketz eva makam. We don't know the formula. We don't know the mechanism you have devised, Hashem, to allow us to reach this type of mitzvah performance, to be able to develop Avat Hashem. So says the Mizrahi, that the Rabbeinu Shalom said to Klal Yisrael, don't be scared, don't be worried, because I already knew up front what your concern is going to be. And that's why in the very next pasuk, after the mitzvah, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, you have the pasuk, V'ho'ayim Elokei Hashem Echemtzav Chayim Alavecha. What I'm telling you over here is that I already created mechanisms through which you'll be able to develop a connection to me, a hasagat elokis in this world, a relationship, even though we're dealing in different realms. And if you follow those mechanisms that I created in the world of intellectual and spiritual perception of God, if you follow those pathways which I'm going to explain to you, they will allow you to develop a relationship with Hashem that ultimately will lead to Avat Hashem at some point of time in the future itself. And if you look very carefully, Rabbi Yisai, you will see, if you go back to the kaseret of the mitzvah, as the Rambam portrays it in the very first two lines, Hi hatzivui shenitztavinu alavasa yisaleh. And how do we come to, therefore, coming to a love of God? Shenizbonein v'nistakel. We have to take time to literally have an in-depth understanding and comprehension, v'nistakel, and a very intense visual analysis in what? In mitzvosav, tzivuyav, upulosav. Analyzing God when it comes to the spiritual commandments of the Torah, which means by analysis of Torah, tzivuyav, to see the various commands God gave, and what they meant to us in Korav is what it teaches us about the Rabbeinu Shalom, upulosav, and to see the actions of God, specifically the actions of creation, to be able to see the Chachma Hashem contained, the Master Bereishis, and the Bria in general. All of these, if we spend the time and effort to have an in-depth analysis of this, this will bring us to some type of idea and hasagi in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and by doing such we'll be able to come to an appreciation of Hashem that one day will reach the level of love. And he says this again at the end of the halacha, she'bistaklus tavo l'dehasaga v'yimotzu l'chatanig v'tavo ava behechrich. Now, to go a little deeper on this, I want you to turn out to page number 3. What is interesting to note is that the Rambam returns to this topic over and over again in Maran Nevuchim, Barichus, but likewise in the 10th chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam deals with this specific question as well, and that is the concept of our ability to connect and relate to HaKadosh Baruch on the highest level, to be Oyver Hashem mi'ava, to worship Hashem through Avat Hashem, and not have to worship Hashem based upon only Yirah Shemayim, fear of God. If you look at Rabbi Yisai very carefully in Halacha Vav on page number 3, this is where you see quotation A on the right hand side of the page. Listen to what the Rambam says. Vidava yidua ubavur, something that is known and clear, she'ein avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu niksheres b'libo she'adam ad she'yiksha b'tamid, that a person should know and be clear that the Ava, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not become something that is tied and connected to the heart and their being until a person is literally infatuated with Hashem's love continuously, k'ra'ui, v'yazov k'masha ba'olam chutz mimenu, you're willing to give up everything you have in this world for the sake of achieving Avat Hashem. That's why it says, v'ahavta Hashem l'kecha, v'chol levavecha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol miyodecha, which means b'chol nafshecha, with all your soul, with all your spiritual, intellectual kachas, b'chol miyodecha, with all your monetary resources and such. You're supposed to be willing to sacrifice all of that for the sake of achieving the Avat Hashem, ultimate Avat Hashem. So he says, "Kamo shetziva v'amar b'cholav chanav shecha, ein oyev esamalka." But now we come to the part of the Rambam that I want to accentuate. You can't develop this love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela b'dash yadeyu, based upon the knowledge intellectually you have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem is. Al pi hadeya tiyahava, the knowledge you have of God will then determine the level of love that you have. Im miyat miyat, im habe habe, whether a little bit or a great deal. Lefichach tzarech adam liyacher atzma, a person therefore has to prepare themselves. Lahavin ulahaskil, to understand and to quite obviously have a very, very intellectual perception. Vechachmos, and those concepts of wisdom. Utevunot, and those in-depth and analytical phenomenon, hamodim lo eskono, who allow a person to discover who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, kevikach sheyesh ba'adam, according to the power that man is capable of having, and that is im miyat miyat im harbe harbe, depending upon your kochos, of whether it's a lot or a little. Lefichach sar adam liyachad atzma, a person has to be miyachad himself, lahavin lahaskil, to understand and perceive. Bechachmos hatfunos hamadin lahaskono kimashesh b'adam lahavin lahasig kimoshe b'yanu behilchas yisodei Torah. Rambam, in Hilchas Yisodei Torah as well, points out that there's a mitzvah of what's called leida es elokim, there's a mitzvah to know God. The Rambam is of the opinion, when Hashem said in the first mitzvah of the Aseret Dibros, Anocha Hashem Elokecha, that the mitzvah of Anocha Hashem Elokecha is a mitzvah that mandates us not only to believe that God exists, not only Amun Elokis, but the Rambam says we have a mandate to go one step further. No. We have to develop mitzvah leida. We have to develop a knowledge and understanding, a comprehension of God according to the level of our human intellectual spiritual capacities. So the Rambam Lishitaso felt that for a person therefore to reach the ultimate connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yedias Elokim is a crucial factor. And the fact of Yedias Elokim, however, since God is in a different plane, he's in an incorporeal world, and we're in a corporeal world, we need something substantive in our world that describes God in terminology we are able to comprehend and understand. That's called the concept of anthropomorphism, that the Torah speaks about God in human terms, so we're able to perceive God in a human level, but what's being described to us on the human level is how we're supposed to interrelate to God on a divine level. But God is always portrayed in human terms, because that's the only thing that human beings can relate to. So you'll find Pesukim in the Torah, the eyes of God, Ein Hashem Elokecha Ba. Or you'll have the Oizen, the ear of God that's hearing. Or you'll have terms, the Yad Hashem, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now Hashem doesn't have eyes. He doesn't have ears. He doesn't have a hand. That's called Deibar HaTorah B'Loshem Adam. It's called in fancy English anthropomorphisms. And the reason is that when you're able to therefore speak to God about God in human terms, we're then able, in your inyan, to then perceive God even on a higher level, realizing, as Moshe finally was told, that you can never ever understand me on the level you want until you go to Olam Emes and you go from a guf to a neshama and you're like a malach. At that time, you'll also be incorporeal and you'll be able to understand God on the highest level. Now, with this in mind, What I want to accentuate over here is what the Rambam says in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, and what he says here in Hilchos Tshuva, what he says in the Sefer Mitzvos and Mar Nevuchim, and bring it all together. What the Rambam says, basically, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam created all types of phenomena in this world that allows us to realize the powers, the knowledge, and the capabilities of who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. One simple way of doing this, if a person could obviously would be very, very into scientific phenomena in this world, let's look and analyze the universe that God created. The incredible universe that's all around us from all sides, and look at certain phenomena we find in the universe that are incomprehensible to have happened or occurred based upon an indiscriminate Big Bang. Like in the Goyish world, they talk about that creation didn't just happen, you know, accidentally with a specific matara, they called it the Big Bang. All of a sudden, from nowhere, energy came, and this energy burst out with tremendous power. Ultimately, this energy became a physical substance, which became primordial matter, and the whole universe is there for the result of this Big Bang, and the results of the Big Bang is still going on to this very day. The expansion of the universe is merely an extension of that Big Bang that took place in their scientific novels billions of years ago. But the fact of the matter is, people who are not the greatest religious figures in the Jewish world pointed out one interesting phenomenon that points out that this Big Bang could not have just been haphazard. The person that I have in mind over here is the famous Einstein. Albert Einstein was not the greatest religious Jew on the face of this earth. And what he pointed out, based upon his investigations in the mathematical, scientific world in which he functioned, is he asked a very simple question. Based on the law of statistics, is it possible for us to think that the Big Bang was some type of indiscriminate release of natural energy in nature that happened by itself, to have the capacity to bring into existence a planetary system where you have a sun and planets orbiting the sun, where we can, with mathematical and scientific protocol, come and be able to make what we think are measurements and to predict exactly when an orbit of a planet is going to be at this place and that place, and how things are going to take place in the future when it comes to astronomical phenomena on mathematical perfection. Can that be a result of an accidental explosion that was just accidentally done without any type of entity directing exactly how the system was set up? He says, based upon mathematical statistics, is an impossibility. For me to be able to make the measurements I make, or a scientist to make, when it comes to all the magnificent scientific phenomena on the face of this earth, there had to be some entity, whatever you want to call it, I was not ready to accept God, that was misada all of this with a chachma that allows us to discover that chachma, to be able to measure that chachma, figure out the chachma, and come to our conclusions as human beings. But there had to be some force, whatever force you want to call it, that brought this order into existence to be able to perceive what we perceive today. What he was saying, very simply, is something that's said later on by all the Gedolim who dealt with this topic. One of the most famous was Rabbi Nebachi Ibn Pekuda, the author of the Chovos HaLevavos, who says, when you look at just the works of Sefer Tehillim, and you see the exclamations that are made by David Melech, "Ma Rabbi Masech Hashem Kulim B'Chachma Asis Mal Aretz Kinecha," where you talk about the Maisa Etzbasecha V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, you look up to the Shemaim, able to see the wonders of creation. That by looking at all of this, by understanding the scientific universe of pure sciences, of biology, of botany, of chemistry, whatever, you go through all of them, you realize that for these sciences to exist, There has to have been a God who created them, who gave them a Seder, who gave them a Chachma, a certain divine design, if you want to use that terminology, which we're able to understand and comprehend, and be able to understand this scientific phenomenon or technology, harness it by comprehension and utilize it for the benefit of mankind. Therefore, by studying scientific reality in this world, a person comes to Hasag Zelikis, look at the mind of the God who created all of this Chachma, and by understanding God, by looking at natural law, you come to a relationship to God. You come to Hakaras Atov, to how you have to be thankful for your daily life, for every breath that comes out of your nostrils. When you say Dashiyotza, and you realize that if Hashem would close the open offices and open the closed offices, you cannot survive even Shoachas. You develop an awareness of God, Hasagas Elokes, an appreciation to God, and ultimately a love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing you to survive in this very complicated universe. They say upon the Chazon Ish that as brilliant as he was when it came to his Hasagas HaTorah, I don't know if you ever read his Sefer, Emunah B'Tochan, but in the first chapter, Emunah B'Tochan, he points out that one of the phenomena that allowed him to reach high levels of Hasagas and B'Tochan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not only the Torah that he learned, which he was an Amkin and on Shein Kamahu, but he loved studying human anatomy and physiology. He had a love for medical sciences. It's a known fact. He used to study that on a very intensive level, because he says, when I'm able to see just the chachma of the human being and how everything interacts, you realize, my Rabbi, my Sech Hashem, kulam b'chachma, m'asiz m'haroskin necha, that helped turn him on to even a stronger connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu besides his knowledge of Torah. Imagine I'm talking about the Chazon Ish in the first chapter of Emunah and Bitachon in Hashem, talks about his knowledge of human science when it comes to physiology and anatomy was a major mavoh to his connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You tell in Yeshiva Shavel, they'll tell you who's Meshugan Tait. So I tell them, take the first chapter of Emunah and Bitachon and read what he says, and you'll understand that there isn't Shmishugan Toy, but you are. Because the fact is, he says this is an open statement. And I found later on in my investigation of this, the Vilna Gaon said it way before him. And you'll go down the list, you know, of all the Gedolei Olam who dealt with this topic. And they point out very simply that we are mechuyev to study the Briyat Olam, the Chacham Briyat Olam, as part of our Hasagat Elokis, as the Ram says, to do those Chachmos Utfunos Hamadin es Kona. That's the Lashon of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. That's the way we come to our understanding of God. So studying the Pulos of God's creations is one way of coming to Hasagas Elokis. Another way of coming to Hasagas Elokis is seeing God in the context of the controller of human history. The ability for Klal Yisrael to exist under the most impossible conditions. We say it in Haggadah. The indestructibility of Hashem when it comes to Klal Yisrael's ability to survive against all odds, this is Hashem's Hashgacha Prat, this divine providence. When you see that, you realize it, you historically analyze it, you come to the conclusion that HaKadosh Baruch has a special love for us. He promised us a special indestructibility. Going back to the Bris Ben Abisarim, we see it in thousands of years of human existence, of human history, and Jewish history. There's another way of perceiving who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and the omnipotence of Hashem, and the omniscience of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that leads us also to a special ava, love, and concern, and quite obviously appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So studying history, and Jewish history in particular, on a global level over thousands and thousands of years is another way of coming to Hasagas Elokis, developing a love for God. Finally, the Rambam says the most powerful source in his mind is Amkus when it comes to learning Torah. Because when it comes to Torah Shemsav, Torah Shabbat, the length and breadth and depth of this literature, the fact that Shivim Panim L'Torah, I take one Pasuk, and by the time I finish, you can have a whole library written on one Pasuk, showing you the depth perception contained in every word of the Torah, every word contained in the Nach, the amount of lumdis and godless habari You see in the Chachmas of the Torah contained in Torah Shavah when it comes to analysis of Torah Shavah Peh and all the literature that's written upon this for thousands and thousands of years. Amkis in Torah is another way of coming to Hasagas Elokis. You see the mindset of Hashem that created such a system of brilliance that you can say upon Machlokes Mesilah Beis Shammai Elu El Divchem Chayim, both of you are right in the way you're perceiving a halacha. There's no other discipline that both are right. Either you're right or you're wrong. In Torah, there's an Elu Ve'elu. He created a system that you can come to two different conclusions using the same literature with the same amkus, and both are theoretically correct, but the Psak Halacha is based upon Acharav and Lahatais, even though they're coming to different types of opinions. So all of this, the in-depth study of Torah, of science, of history, are the ways we come to Avat Hashem according to the Rambam. What the Rambam therefore teaches us is that if a person wants to develop Avat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way we do it is by our in-depth analysis of these three disciplines I just explained to you. I also want to mention to you something that's also quite fascinating, is that the next time you daven Shachris and Mariv, look at the brachas that are surrounding the Shema Yisrael on all two sides. Shema Yisrael, you have contained the positive Yahavta Shem Elokecha. Do you think it's for naught that the first bracha of Berachas Krishma by night and by day deals with Hashem in the concept of Briyas Olam? Shemachadash B'chol Yom Tomed Maaseh Bereishis, the concept of light and darkness and nature. So the first bracha of Krishma deals with God in the concept of the Borei Olam, the creator of the universe. The second bracha of Kriyashma, before you say Kriyashma, is on Avarava, Avasodlam, is on Torah. Torah is another mechanism I taught you, with which a person comes to Asogas Elokis. And the brachas that are after the Kriyashma deal with God as the ultimate director of the history of the world and the history of the Jewish people and their redemption, the Gal Yisrael. So we see God in the context of the one who controls the historical record and Klal Yisrael's existence and history against all odds. Chazal therefore wanted to show us this is the way we come to Avat Hashem on the highest level, and that is through studying these disciplines. Chazal therefore point out that if that is the case, when it comes to developing an tshuva we do ma'ava, you're only going to do a tshuva ma'ava if you have an Ava Selokim. If you don't have an Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not motivated to do a tshuva based upon Ava. So therefore, if you think about it for a couple of minutes, the way that you ultimately come to the capacity to develop an Ava Telokim is, as the Nefesh Chaim says, by studying Torah, as the Rambam says later on, by studying the Chachmas of Briyat HaOlam, by studying Jewish history. All of this allows us to develop an Ava BaHashem, and based upon the level of Ava and Hasagas Elokis, that will therefore make it that when we do a tshuva, it will be motivated based upon Avat Hashem, not based upon Yirat Hashem. Now with this understanding, that is why I once heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik how interesting it is that Rav Chaim of Brisk used to have a minig that from Rosh Hashanah till the Yom Tov of Yom Kippur, he used to learn all of Hilchos Tshuva, the 10 Perakim Hilchos Tshuva. And from day one of Rosh Hashanah, he started with Perak Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva. And in day 10, which is Yom Kippur, he came to chapter 10, which is the last chapter of the Halacha of Hilchos Tshuva. And what is the theme on the last day? The concept of being Oyved Hashem Mi'ava, worshiping Hashem from Ava. Because at the end of the day, the purpose of Yom Kippur to reach its maximal potential, as we discussed last week, is to do a tshuva mi'ava where the whole aveira is eradicated, and then to have the ability to ask Hashem, once I've done that, give me taras haneshama. So what he showed is that by following the Rambam's path and learning intensely and doing other things which bring you to knowledge of HaKaras Elokis, Hasagas Elokis, that will give you Avat Hashem ultimately, and that Avat Hashem will then bring you to Tshuva Mi'ava as the ultimate result. With that in mind, I want to go now quickly and finish the shiur when it comes to what we do on Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, what's interesting and fascinating is you have a Musaf that's the longest Musaf we have, Kol Hashanah Kula, when it comes to Musaf. And that Musaf contains the Malchios, the Zichronos, and Shofros, We have the blowing of the shofar taking place. Nusach Sfar, they blow it even when you have the Amidah that's been done quietly, besides the Chazaras Hashatz. But you have in the Nusach of the Tefillah a Nusach of Musaf that is simply incredible. You have as the theme of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva the concept of Melech, Malchus. You switch a Kel HaKadosh for Melech HaKadosh, and it's Ma'akir B'dyeved if you don't mention Malchus. So said once Rav Soloveitchik, what does Rosh Hashanah do for us? It already starts preparing us on an intellectual, theological plane of who we are basically praying to, who we are basically dependent upon, who we are accountable to when it comes to our daily lives. And that is when you read the psukim of Malchus Zechronos V'Shofaros, you come to three major awarenesses that you have to have if you ever have an expectation to ever reach Hasagas Elokis, which brings you to ultimate Avad Hashem and doing Tshuva Mi'ava. He points out when it comes to Malchus, what's the purpose of Malchus? To recognize there's only one God in this world, and that is the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore he is the Melech Malchim Melech Malkadosh Baruch Hu. There's no other divine entity besides God in this world. We believe in monotheism, not polytheism. There's Achdus Habari. And therefore, if that's the case, we are all answering and accountable to one God above. The concept of Melech should literally wear you down and get you frightened. They say upon many of the Bali Musar that when they used to hear the word HaMelech being recited in Shachris in the morning, some of them used to faint on the ground. And they asked them later on, why did you faint? So they said, when I started realizing that who I'm davening to and davening before and who I'm responsible to, and you're mentioning Hashem's sole, universal, distinctive Malchus, he's the Melech, and when you are dealing with the Melech, there's no way of escaping the king, that filled me with fear and trepidation, put me in a mood swing that I started literally to chalish to think, can I come in front of the king? Am I prepared to come in front of the king? Am I spiritually pure enough? That filled them with fear and trepidation. Some of them used to faint momentarily to deal with that specific phenomenon. So Malchus tells us the concept of the Achdus Habari, the uniqueness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the major theme of the Tefillas Musaf. The Zichronos Rabbi Yisai is Hashem's Hashgacha Pratis. Hashem sees everything we do, hears everything we do, has everything recorded in his divine computer above. When you realize there's nothing you can keep hidden from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a very fearful concept. It shows the intensity of God's knowledge of everything happening in the universe from one end to the other end. Chazal tells us, and the Rambam emphasizes this, that the most powerful thing a person can have in his religious arsenal to prevent sin is the concept of Shivisi Hashem Lanegdi Tomet. That if, in fact, the Ramot quotes this right in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Hayim. If a person, the Rambam says, would think that Hashem is watching you every second of the day, would you have the chutzpah to try to sin? Or try to do something that God can't see? It's impossible. Hashem sees everything. So therefore, when you're davening the Shemoneh Esrei of Musaf, and you do the Zichronos and think about Hashem is all-knowing, and He sees everything, and everything is heard, and everything is recorded, you have to be filled with pachad v'yira to realize the potency of this Ribbono Shalom and the accountability we have based upon His accounting system. And that has to start giving you Hasagas Elokis to realize who this God is and look at the mercifulness that He has, that He should have killed you on the spot for rebelling by sinning, but He doesn't do that. He's the Baal Rachamim who gives you time to rethink what you did, gives you time to do tshuva and return and to fix yourself up before the Yom HaDin. So therefore, that's another major theme on when it comes to the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah that sets the tone of your behavior. But finally, when you come to Shofros, the Shofros, Haytokish of Iyev, Amlo Yurchradu, can a Shofros be blown in the city? People are not full of fear and trepidation. That themes contained in that part of the Shemar Esrei for Musaf tell you there's a concept of a Din V'Cheshbon. There's a Dayan in Shemayim who knows everything, who judges you, who knows what you did well to give you reward, who knows what you did incorrectly to give you divine punishment. You can't escape the reward and punishment.
You're ultimately subject to an omnipotent God that is unstoppable. Nothing ever stopped God in the past and will stop God in the future, Chas v'Shalom. So if that's the case, the concept of knowing God's all-powerfulness is another major concept contained in the Musaf. So if you think about those three concepts, the Malchus of Hashem, the Yedias Hashem, the Divine Providence, the concept of Hashgach Hashem, the concept of the Yecheilus Hashem, the all-powerfulness of God, if that's the theme and the Malchus that literally starts off the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that's giving you an impetus to really get involved in your Hasagas Elokis and your Deus Elokis very quickly. So by the time you finish the 10 days of preparation, you come to Yom Kippur, you're ready, based upon all your preparation, all the Tchinis and Tfilos, to perhaps, with your Hasagas Elokis, to come to Avat Hashem. So when you finally do Tshuva on Yom Kippur, and you come to the Makkah B'Patish, you reach the level of Tshuva Mi'ava, so therefore you should have a total Kapara, and ultimate Tahara taking place. So Rosh Hashanah with its themes is the wake-up call, with the Tchiyah Shofar to wake us up, to get out of a slum and realize what we're dealing with over here, and who we are, and who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, to get us on the road for proper tshuva and proper repentance, with proper kavanos, to reconnect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to develop the love and connection we should have when it comes to our Devekas to Hashem and Avas Hashem, and ultimately our observance of Hashem's divine commandments. The tefillah I give us tonight, Rabbi Yisrael, is that we should be inspired by the davening. Our chazan should do a good job in arousing in us all of these kavanos and mirtz Hashem, and we should have the ability, Rabbi Yisrael, to explain to people what the themes of Rosh Hashanah are and how they lead us to the ultimate Avat Hashem and Yirah Shemayim we're supposed to possess. And hopefully Hashem will give us the ability not only to have Kapara this year, but Total Tahara. And we should be Zocha next year with B'Shir Tzidkenu to be able to experience this in the context of the Beis HaMikdash that will be rebuilt with Mashiach Tzidkenu, and be Zocha for ultimate Geula and redemption of Klal Yisrael. B'mheri Yomeinu, Amen
V'Amen. You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.